Alpha Amara. Chapter 31. Adoption. Amara. I can't imagine what Joseph is thinking about his parents. I don't understand how they can be so inconsiderate of their pup and then having your wolf show up at this age. I know we need to talk to an elder and to a council member to find out what we can do for Joseph. Minerva wants to rip Damien and Penelope to pieces for what they put their pup through. We both may hate his parents, but we will never hold that against Joseph. He is a victim in this case, just like Minerva and I are victims, and the one thing Joseph and I have in common is that his parents are responsible for it. I click on Evander's contact and I hope he can help me out. To my surprise, he is with the council and I decide to tell them the whole story in big lines, but when I get to Joseph I tell them everything Theseus told me. I need them to know the entire story to give us the best possible advice. That he needs a strict upbringing doesn't surprise me, and before the council member has asked me, Minerva already told me we would raise Joseph, that she wanted him to be successful. Like me, she doesn't blame him for what Damien and Penelope did. I feel Theseus stiffen at the question, but I don't give him time to turn the request down, of course. He is innocent and I won't let him pay for what his parents did. What do Theseus and I have to do? I feel Theseus relax at my words. Evander has my contact information. Please send me everything we need. I say before I disconnect the call and relax back into Theseus' arms. A few minutes later, Dad walks in with Elder Ezra and Mom decides to tell him what we found out this time. His parents won't be able to raise him the way he needs, and knowing both his grandfathers, I doubt either one of them will be able to give him the upbringing he needs. We should inform the council, they will take Joseph to a family that can raise him. Elder Ezra says. I want to smack the elder on his head for not thinking about me and Theseus, but thank the goddess for Delia. No offense, Elder Ezra, but aren't you forgetting a part of his family? She says, and I see Elder Ezra thinking about her words, but I don't think Delia has the patience with him. What about Theseus and Amara? She asks him, and I see shock on his face. Miss, Joseph is the son of Alpha Amara's first mate and everyone knows what he did to her. Elder Ezra responds. Delia actually growls at him and Alastair pulls her on his lap to calm her down. Elder Ezra, I already talked to the council. One of my pack members works for the council and when I contacted him he was with the council. They asked me if Theseus and I would be willing to raise Joseph and I already informed them that we are willing. Joseph is not to blame for what his parents did. I won't let an innocent 5-year-old become a victim of his parents' actions. I know we will be able to give him the guidance he needs and I know he can rely on everyone in this room if he ever needs them. I say and I see everyone nod their heads. Alpha Amara, I had no intention of insulting you. It did cross my mind, but knowing what I know, I didn't want to go down that road. I do have to say I am pleased to hear that you are willing to raise Joseph. I think the two of you will be able to raise him to become a good grown wolf. Did the council send you the documentation you need to fill out? If you are able to do it before the competition is over, I can sign off on them in name of the council and then you can ask Luna Maeve to bring him to you, whether that is here or at your pack. Elder Ezra says. I grab my phone to check my email and find the documents we need to take custody of Joseph away from his parents. The council already filled out all of the relevant information on their end and most of our information is filled out as well. All that is missing are our signatures. Eos, I need you to print this. Once Theseus and I have signed it, Elder Ezra can sign them and then all we need to do is get Joseph here. I don't want him anywhere near Damon and I don't want Damien or Penelope to get the chance to influence Joseph in any way. I say and Eos takes my phone from me. Mom sits down on the couch next to me. Amara, I am so proud of you. Not many females would be able to make the right decision in a situation like this, but you put Joseph's needs above your hate towards his parents. If you don't want Joseph to see your matches, I will stay in the suite with him. She says. I know Mom is proud of me, but it is good to hear her say it. We all know that Joseph already has seen me fight, but I turn to Theseus anyway and ask him for his opinion. I think we can take him with us, and maybe we should tell him up front why you entered the competition, my alpha. He answers. My cheeks turn red again at his use of my title, but I know it is more as an endearment, and I actually like the fact that he calls me that. Mom swats his shoulder and tells him not to tease me with my title, but everyone can tell she is just teasing him. Yes, Luna. He responds, but Mom isn't pleased with his teasing and she tells him so. Elder Ezra looks at her as he shakes his head and Dad asks him why he is shaking his head. Well, Alpha Theseus is actually correct with calling your mate Luna. He responds. Mom is quick to point out that I took over 5 years ago, I am aware of that fact, Luna Anthea. I also know that if an alpha gets replaced by an unmated alpha, the Luna position doesn't change, and as far as I know, Atlas was replaced by an unmated alpha. He explains and Mom stares at him with eyes as big as saucers. I hide my face in Theseus' chest as I realize that Elder Ezra is correct. Dad turns away from Mom as she turns to him for support. Alastair looks from Mom to Elder Ezra and suddenly he starts to chuckle, making everyone look at him, but he just stares at Mom. Does that mean we are stuck with Theseus' mother as Luna? Minerva asks and I ask her to explain herself. Well, neither one of you is Luna and that means that that position will never be filled. I doubt Mom would want to stay Luna until she dies. Minerva states. Elder Ezra, can I ask something? I don't know if you have an answer, but I hope you can find one. I ask and he nods his head. Theseus and I are both alpha of our own pack and we keep that title even after combining our packs, does that mean one of our mothers stays Luna? I ask. I see a disgusted look appear on Ajax's face and I see a few more contorted faces as everyone thinks about my question. No way in hell is my mother staying on as Luna, I'd rather hand it over to Delia. I hear Theseus mumble softly, but I am the only one that was able to hear him. Mom is shaking her head while Dad is managing to keep a straight face, barely. Alastair and Delia are laughing their asses off as they look at everyone in the room, while Elder Ezra seems to be deep in thought and I hope he can provide us with an answer. Finally he turns his eyes in my direction as he says, actually the both of you can give that position to anyone you want, if you can agree on who you would like in that position. All you have to do is hold a slightly different Luna ceremony and to inform the council. I think about Theseus' words as Eos walks into the room with all the paperwork we need to sign and I quickly take them from her to read them with Theseus looking over my shoulder. Midas hands me a pen once we are done reading them and Theseus and I sign the papers before we hand them over to Elder Ezra. After he has signed them Eos scans them into her laptop and with the papers in his hand Elder Ezra leaves the room, but Theseus stops him by asking if I can use one of the side fields to train tonight. Of course, Alpha Theseus. Alpha Amara can use any field she wants, except for the arena. He responds as he heads to the elevator. Okay, we have an hour left before dinner. I know you don't like leaving your mates behind, but unless you brought clothing with you I guess you will have to go to your own suite. Dad says and I hear Linus growl near my ear. I wrap my arms around his neck as I whisper near his ear, it is only 1 hour, my alpha. He groans as I place my lips on his cheek and before I know it his hand is tangled in my hair, while his lips are on mine. I slightly open my lips to grant him access to my mouth and I melt into his body as our tongues are involved in a match for dominance, which Theseus obviously wins. Mom clearing her throat makes us pull apart and I put my forehead against his as I am catching my breath, don't make me wait too long, my alpha. Theseus says as he pulls me on my feet and as I look around at my friends I see that we are not the only ones that have troubling letting our mate go. Alpha Amara Chapter 32 Apart. Chapter 32 Apart. Ajax. Damn, I hate this. I always thought my parents had been exaggerating when they complained about the other not being near, but with how I feel I think they actually made it look easy and I wonder how my father survived being away from Mom more than a few minutes. I miss Mate. Kylo whines in my head and that while the doors have barely closed behind us. I know, Kylo. I promise after this we will never let her out of our sight again. I respond and I am glad my mate is a gamma just like me. We will be able to work together every single day. All our phones ding at the same time and we are all equally quick in pulling it out of our back pocket. Miss you. Reads the message I open and a huge smile appears on my face, while Kylo has a grin on his face. Looking at my friends, I bet they got a similar message from their mates. How are we going to survive the next hour? I ask no one in particular and the others groan at my words. Just breath. Xantha suggests and I chuckle as I hear Apollo inhale deeply, no, not working. He mutters and then we are all chuckling. Yeah, this will take some getting used to. Ione. I didn't want to let Ajax go, but I knew Atlas was right and we needed to get ready for dinner. My friends were not doing much better, but we had fun when Delia told us to send them a message at the same time and I think we all needed it in that moment. Amara is holding two outfits in her hands and she keeps looking from one to the other, not able to make up her mind. Both outfits are gorgeous and I know both of them will drive Theseus insane. Her outfits are feminine, sexy, and yet classy, unlike the outfits of some other females I have seen around here. I can't wait to see the looks on their faces when we walk in on the arms of our mates and most of them will stare daggers at us, while a few will make nasty remarks. Not that any of us will care and when they become too annoying I know our mates will deal with it. Amara receives a message and we both look at her screen to read it. I want to call Luna Maeve before we go into the dining room and ask her to come here tomorrow with Joseph, but I don't want to tell her what we are going to do. I want to tell Joseph face to face. I smile as I read Theseus' message, he knows what he wants and yet he wants his mate's approval. Yep, he is the better man out of the two brothers and I am glad the goddess matched him with Amara. Midas. Having Rhea in my arms the entire day has been the best feeling ever and I can't wait to introduce her to my parents, they will love her as much as Finn and I do. I never thought I would feel whole again and I thought Finn would slowly go insane from the rejection, but Rhea has made us whole again. Finn has been close to the surface all day and not once did he take his eyes off our mate. We will go through hell and back for her, we will never hurt her intentionally and we will do whatever we have to do to keep her safe. I smile as I remember how she would bury her nose in my neck from time to time. Our mate is beautiful. Finn says with a sigh and there is nothing else to say, because he is absolutely right. Even though I knew how my first mate had reacted towards Apollo, I thought I had hit the jackpot when I found out she was my fated mate, but she was really only interested in power. She had rejected me quickly when she heard I was a Delta and it had nearly broken me and Finn, but my friends had been there for me without knowing it. Rhea is so much more than my first mate ever was and after tonight the whole world will know when they look at her. You have to tell her before dinner, we can't risk that bitch to tell her. Finn grumbles and I promise him I will. Rhea. Livia felt it the moment he wrapped his arms around us, the same feeling we got from Amara the first few months after Damian rejected her and we will give him the time to tell us about her. He will open up about it when he is ready to talk about it. I buried my nose in his neck every now and then to show him that I want him, that I am his no matter what and I will show him every day for as long as I live. As I smile I am looking at my outfits and I know exactly which one I will be wearing tonight during dinner. Amara asked us not to inform our parents just yet, because she wanted to make sure Joseph was with us and she just informed us that if Luna Maeve agreed he would be here tomorrow morning. I wasn't surprised at all that she chose to adopt Joseph and I know she will do right by him. Livia has been going on about pups ever since Amara told us that adopting Joseph would guarantee the best future for him. Livia wants as many as the goddess will grant us and she hopes for at least four, making me groan when she mentioned that number. You know you want a whole litter of pups. She says teasingly, but we both know she is right. I always wanted a lot of pups and I still haven't changed my mind on that, I just hope that Midas feels the same. Even though I get this feeling he will give me whatever I ask for, no matter what. Xanthus. I thought Lincoln had been annoying since midnight, but being away from EOS makes him unbearable and I put a block up about 10 minutes ago. Coping with my own anxiety is bad enough, having his on top of that drives me up the wall and I know I will not let her out of my sight once I have her near me again. I think back on the moment the elevator doors opened wide enough for me to finally see my mate and once my eyes locked with her chestnut brown eyes I knew I was hooked. I registered that Theseus was standing in front of Alpha Amara, but that was about it. Lincoln and I were completely focused on our mate and I doubt I would have heard it if someone had yelled fire. I honestly believe the building could have caved and I wouldn't have noticed it until it would have been too late. EOS had jumped into my arms before I had stepped out of the elevator. I hadn't resisted the urge to kiss her and I am glad she hadn't stopped me. I know I got a little more from my mate than my friends did, except for Theseus who got to kiss his mate just before we left. Ajax, Apollo, and Midas had been too shocked at first and too disappointed when we left, so they had only cuddled with their mates. EOS. Nova keeps me reliving my kiss with Xanthos and I know that if Atlas hadn't stopped us I would have told him to take me back to his room. Nova, stop it. Keep this up and I will jump his bones the second I see him again. The moment I hear what I say I want to facepalm myself. She will never stop reliving that moment now, she wants me to jump his bones and if I am honest with myself I want to jump his bones. I want him to make me his in every way possible and I want the world to see that I am his and that he is mine. Amara, would you mind if I pack an overnight bag? I don't think Nova and I want to spend the night without Xanthos. I don't want to do this without her knowing about, but I also know I don't need her permission and I know she will appreciate the fact that I asked anyway. I feel that Amara is pulling all of us in a mind link and I think she will tell the others what I asked. EOS, you don't need my permission to stay with your mate. If any of you want to spend the night with your mate then you have my blessing, make sure you pack everything you need and I'll ask Michael to get it to their suite. We all thank her for her thoughtfulness before we close the link and I wonder if she herself will spend the night with Theseus, even though I would understand it if she wants to take it slow. Apollo. I can't get the image of Melia out of my head. Roman won't allow it and I chuckle every time he sighs at her image. I wish I had had the chance to kiss her, but for some reason I forgot about it and I promised Roman the moment we lay eyes on her again I will leave her breathless. For the past 10 minutes I have been typing and deleting messages I want to send to her, but every time I read them again I feel like a creep and so I have not sent her one message back. I keep staring at the message she sent me just after the elevator doors closed and I know they all sent it at the same time. We all looked like lovesick puppies after getting the messages, but I couldn't care what the others thought about it. Melia is mine and I will love and cherish her for as long as I am still breathing, I want her with me every minute of every day. I just hope I can convince her to come back up here with me tonight, I want to explore her body from top to bottom and back up again. I want to wake up next to her in the morning and worship her body all over again, to make her scream my name as she shatters. We will make her ours. Roman grumbles in my head and I know he doesn't like it one bit that she is not here with us. Melia. I squeal as I hear Amara say she is okay with us staying with our mates, I know she would never keep us away from our mates and she will be the first to blow a gasket if anyone would try to keep a mated couple apart. However, I also understand why EOS asked her for permission. Apollo will be surprised when he finds out I am going to sleep in the same bed as he is, that I will be in his arms when he wakes up in the morning and I almost jump up and down in excitement. I finally understand why Mom kept saying wait until you have your own mate every time I asked her to stop whining about Dad being away. I will only be away from Apollo for an hour, but I am not sure how I am going to get through it and Mom and Dad had been apart for days sometimes. I finally understand how Mom felt every time Dad left the pack, Don. I will apologize to her when we get home. I say to my wolf. Alpha Amara Chapter 33 Making the Call. Chapter 33 Making the Call. Theseus. I quickly took a shower before getting dressed for dinner and now I am sitting in an armchair in my room, thinking about the events of the day. If anyone had told me this yesterday morning I would have been in stitches, I never would have believed I would find my second chance mate today or that I would be adopting my nephew. Linus and I still get pissed off thinking about what Damien did to her, but for the most part it has to do with how he did it and then claiming that Penelope is his fated mate. Linus was the one that came up with the punishment for Damien and Penelope, because he didn't want to see that conniving female ever again. Now I am grateful for Linus' solution as it will mean that Amara won't have to face him unless she chooses to face him, if Dad knew I want him gone too. I say to Linus. Hell, if he puts up a fight because she is my mate I am going to send him in Damien's direction. I am going to show her every single day that I want her, need her and love her, she will never doubt that she is the one for me and Linus. If anyone gives us trouble I will make sure they know not to mess with me or my mate, even though I have a feeling she will be capable of doing that all by herself. Dad will need to leave our floor once we get back, ask Amara if we can stay in her pack house until he is moved out. I don't want to deal with him anymore and I sure as hell don't want Amara to deal with him, he will make snide comments every chance he gets. Linus growls. I know Linus is correct. Mom and Dad will take every chance they get to make it known they don't like her and knowing their history with Amara's parents I know they will stop at nothing. However, I will make sure they know the consequences of crossing the line. Amara surprised both me and Linus when she asked the council what we had to do to adopt Joseph, but I heard the sincerity when she said she couldn't hold his parents' actions against him. Joseph was always more willing to accept something I told him and that goes for my men as well. If Joseph doubted an answer he got he would ask me or one of my men and he would always take our answer for truth, after all we had no reason to lie to him. I still remember the day he asked me about fated mates and looking back I think he suspected something when it comes to his parents. Damien wasn't too happy he asked me that question directly or that I shot him down when Damien told Joseph they would talk about it in their room. I think it was his way of trying to control an already unstable situation with his son, but in the end it backfired as Joseph told him he wanted me to answer his question. Linus tells me to point this out to Amara as Joseph will ask her questions, just to see if she would lie to him and I guess it is only fair to give her a heads up on this. I never thought much about Joseph asking me for answers, but with the knowledge I have now I start to understand a few more things. Amara. Minerva is still in the dreamy state she has been in ever since Theseus kissed us and I hear her softly sigh as she relives the memory. I had only kissed one male before Theseus and that had been more of a dare than anything else. It hadn't been earth-moving or downright awful, but it was nothing compared to what Theseus made me feel. I had been very reluctant to let him go, but Dad was right when he said we needed to change for dinner. I think back on the times Mom would complain about Dad not being around or if he had been in long meetings and I think I finally understand just a little of what she felt at those times. It is almost as if I am incomplete without Theseus nearby, I didn't feel this way when I helped Mom and Delia with clearing the table after lunch. Maybe it has to do with not being able to hear him or smell him, whatever it is I hope I will have this feeling as less as possible in my life. I am thinking about the question Eos asked, part of me wants to be with Theseus as much as I can and a small part of me is still scared he might reject me. I know he is nothing like Damien, but that doesn't mean he won't reject me in private and I think a small part of me fears he might. Amara, he wants us. Just as much as Linus wants us. Talk to him and you will find out for yourself he will never reject us. Minerva says and the doubt I have in my head becomes a little smaller. I grab my dual-colored suit before I head into the bathroom. I know it is not a suit anyone expects me to wear, but then again I have quite an unusual taste when it comes to my clothing and I hope Theseus will like this particular one. As I stand under the shower I close my eyes and let the water cascade over my back, while I let the events from this day run through my mind. By the time I have showered and dried myself off I have made up my mind, I see that Ione is no longer in the room and a small bag is laying by the door. I call Michael and ask him if he can grab the bags from the rooms while we are at dinner, he doesn't ask why when I tell him where to bring them. I pull on the tight pants with a tight long-sleeved shirt, before I pull on the vest and blazer. I really love the checkered look, and that half of it is gray, white and black, while the other half is black and blue. I remember the shocked look on Mom's face the first time she saw it. Once she saw me wearing it, she knew why I loved it so much, and everyone that sees it for the first time compliments me on how good it suits me. Everyone is waiting for me when I finally emerge from the bedroom. "You look sharp as always, sweetheart," Mom says as I walk towards the elevator. Theseus. We are waiting on the ground floor near the elevator for our mates. All of us are pacing back and forth, and I have seen a few unmated females look our way. Luckily none of them has come our way yet, and I hope it stays that way, because I know Linus will throw a fit if one of them approaches us. Midas taps me on my shoulder to let me know the elevator is on its way down, and I can feel Linus slowly calming down, but I know he will stay agitated until we have her in our arms. Just like this morning, the door opens way too slow for us, and Linus is softly growling in my head. My heart skips a beat the moment she gets off the elevator, and for a moment I don't know if she looks hotter in this outfit or the one she wore last night, but Linus tells me she looks hot no matter what she wears. She smiles up at me as she walks into my open arms, and I wrap my arms around her as I kiss her. The moment our lips touch, the rest fades away around us, and I pull her closer to my body as we deepen the kiss. Looks like they already found their dinner. I hear Alastor mumble, and a second later I hear him whimper, but I don't bother looking to see what is going on. My eyes stay on Amara as I catch my breath, and I see from the corner of my eyes that my men are holding their mates as well. Okay, let's get something to eat and get the rumors started, Delia says, and I hear Amara groan, but we both know that Delia is right. The moment we step into the dining room, everyone will be talking about us, and most of it won't be pleasant. I know Amara can handle herself, but I know Linus will react to anyone bad-mouthing her, and for once I will not stop him from reacting to their disrespect. Most of the alphas and their pack members don't know how to behave themselves when it comes to what is appropriate to say or do, and I know Linus hates anyone that acts that way, so I will let him handle this. I pull my phone from my back pocket and I see a smile appear on her face. Luna Meve, can you bring Joseph to the competition site tomorrow? I ask her the moment she answers my call. For a moment she is silent, and from the sounds I hear I understand she is walking away from someone. Sorry, Alpha Theseus. I had to go to my office. Jane arrived half an hour ago at the request of my mate. He wants her to explain why she convinced Penelope to take a chosen mate. She knows her father, and I never understood why she took a chosen mate, and we warned her not to get between Penelope and her fated mate. I will make sure I get Joseph to you in the morning. I don't know if my mate will come with us or he has to be a distraction for Jane, she tells me. Thank you, Luna Maeve. I will explain everything to you in the morning, I say before I disconnect the call. Amara had her arms around my waist during the call with Luna Maeve, and I kiss her forehead as I put my phone into my back pocket again. Alpha Amara Chapter 34 Dinner. Chapter 34 Dinner. Amara. Just before we step into the dining room, I inhale his scent deeply, knowing we will be the talk of the town once again. Michael had made sure we got breakfast in our suit this morning, as he had heard the first rumors about why I wanted to meet with Theseus. He had also made sure Theseus and his men didn't have to go downstairs either. When he delivered our lunch, he had told Mom that the rumors had gotten worse, and that had to do with the fact that none of us had shown our faces yet. Theseus pulls me closer to him before he kisses my forehead, and as I look up I am looking at a very pissed off Delia. Delia, what is wrong? I ask her, and I see that everyone steps closer. Alastor has his arms around her from behind with his nose buried in her neck. Dad tells us they had been standing near the door to the dining room, and they overheard her father talking to the Alpha of Shadow Moon Pack. He said that you had asked Theseus for a meeting, because you want him as your chosen mate to make your pack even bigger. He even said that Alastor forcefully marked her, because you resent Alpha Crius for tearing up the alliance. Dad says, and Theseus and I have wrapped our arms around one another to calm ourselves down. I take a deep breath before I straighten my back and ask Theseus if he is ready for a shitstorm. Okay, let's get this over with, We knew rumors would start after Alastair's comment last night, but now we know it has gotten worse. Try to ignore everyone for as long as we can, and when it gets too bad, let's just tear someone to pieces. I say, and Xanthos asks if he can have the first one. Ea smacks him on his arm as she says, I am your mate, let's share the first one. Alastair's eyes widen and Delia and Ajax start laughing, but I doubt Eos realizes how her words sounded. Unfortunately for Eos, Xanthos is on the same page as Alastair, you want me to share you? He asks teasingly. Her face turns a deep shade of red as she realizes what she said, and I hide my face in Theseus' chest to avoid looking at Eos. Let's get something to eat before you kick Midas' ass. Dad says, and Midas looks at him and asks him if he needed to remind everyone of that. Son, I will enjoy watching my daughter use you as a punching bag. Dad states as he looks Midas in the eyes, and everyone can hear Midas gulp as Dad turns to walk into the dining room. We hear the room quiet down the second Dad walks in, and Theseus hooks my arm through his before we follow him. I keep my head high as I follow Dad to our table, and a smile appears on my face when I see that Michael is waiting for us near a table where we all can sit down, Alpha Amara, Alpha Theseus. He greets us. I hear one of your men found his second chance mate, Alpha Theseus. Congratulations. Thank you, Michael. Midas calls out. May I introduce you to Rhea, my mate? Michael greets her as if he had never met her before, and I hear a lot of mumbles around us, but most are more directed to the second chance comment than anything else. I mouth a thank you at Michael, and he just gives me a smile as he pulls back a chair for me. Theseus sits down next to me, and once everyone else is seated he raises his glass, congratulations on finding your second chance mate, Midas. He toasts. Rhea glances at Midas as she responds, I am just glad his first mate was an idiot. Maybe someday I will get the chance to thank her for being stupid. Every conversation has come to a stop, and Delia asks her what she means. Well, if his first mate hadn't been stupid enough to reject him, I wouldn't be his second chance mate. I wouldn't get the chance to show him that I am the better female. A loud growl interrupts Rhea from saying anything else, and every head turns to a female at a table not far from us, except for Midas. I am not stupid. She yells as she looks at Rhea, and I see a smirk appear on Midas' face. Why do I get this feeling Rhea set the female up and that she is Midas' first mate? I ask Minerva, but the only answer I get from her is laughter as she is rolling in the aisles. Sorry. Rhea says to the female. I was talking about my mate's first mate, I said she was stupid. The female growls again, and the male next to her asks her what is going on with her. She says I am stupid because I rejected a Delta. I was born to be a Luna and nothing less. She growls, and I slap my hand in front of my mouth as I see the smile on Midas' face grow. Through the mind link I tell Rhea to stay seated and to shut up, let her father deal with her. We don't have to wait long before he bursts out in shouting, even her mother is yelling at her, and both of them want to know why she rejected her fated mate. A young male at the table makes everything worse by pointing out she already answered that question, and if her father had been a kettle he would be whistling right now. His mate tries to calm him down with the emphasis on tries. His warriors have to drag him out of the dining room before everyone settles down again. I start giggling as I realize that everyone is too busy talking about Midas' first mate and the outburst of her parents to talk about the crap Alpha Crius told them. Something you would like to share with the rest of us? Theseus says, and once I tell him why I was giggling everyone is laughing. While we are eating our dinner, Rhea tells us through the mind link that Midas had told her what had happened with his first mate, and I regret that she is no longer in the dining room. I would have liked to give her a piece of my mind. I think she would have gotten all my anger I felt about Damien's rejection, but I don't care. Alpha Amara, would you mind if I stayed at your pack a few days before I take Rhea home? I would like to see where she grew up and I would like to meet her parents. Midas asks, and I have a feeling this might have something to do with Damon and Gaia. Midas, I think her father would kick your ass if you took her home straight away. You are more than welcome to stay a few days, maybe your friends would like to accompany you. I think they might want to hear about your mate and the trouble she can get herself in. I say as I wink at Rhea. Everyone stares at Rhea as she tries to object, but it seems that Theseus understands what I am referring to. Maybe you want to lock the door at night, Midas. Theseus says teasingly, and suddenly they realize what I had been talking about. Ajax stares at Ione as Melia tries to hide behind Delia, while Eos just glares at Xanthos as if to say, "Open that mouth of yours if you dare," and Mom and Dad are looking around the table with a smile on their faces. Delia asks me who I hope my next opponent will be, and I see her father staring daggers at her. Delia, I don't really care. Most alphas here will tell you they are better than a female, and it is those I hope I get to compete with, so I can show them that they have been wrong their whole lives. I answer her. Delia has a smirk on her face as I hear Alpha Crius growl. Her father gets up from his seat, and for a moment I think he is going to leave the dining room, but unfortunately we are not that lucky. Delia, I think it is time for you to go upstairs with your mother. You are a disgrace to your family and your pack. Her father says. Alastor gets up from his seat and is about to address her father, but Delia's hand on his arm stops him from reacting. He slowly turns towards her with a questioning look in his eyes, but the moment he looks at her a smile appears on his face. Alastor steps away from her to make sure her father can see her, and she surprises us all when she turns to Dad to ask, "Dad, am I a disgrace for the family and our pack?" Her father's face turns red from anger, and I feel Theseus next to me stiffen. I know he will defend and protect Delia as he considers her family, and I know the same goes for everyone at this table. "Delia, my dear. You are not and never will be a disgrace to the family or our pack for speaking your mind or for asking questions." Dad answers her as he pulls her into his arms. Theseus decides to put in his two cents as he tells Delia that if Alastor had been an alpha she would make a great Luna. She mumbles a thank you at his words, and her father is about to blow a gasket. Alpha Crius seems to be mind-linking him, and I know what is coming. "Alpha Theseus, my alpha hopes you didn't accept Alpha Amara's request. She only wants you as her chosen mate to get control of the biggest pack, and I have to warn you that Alastor marked Delia against her will." He states, and for a moment the entire dining room is silent. "You do realize that everyone with a brain can tell you are full of bull?" Theseus asks. Alpha Amara Chapter 35 Accusations. Chapter 35 Accusations. Theseus. I am glad Amara is sitting next to me, and with her hand on my knee I am able to control Linus, but I know that if I give control to him he is going to kill at least one male in the dining room. I know Alpha Crius instructed him to make those false accusations. While we were talking this morning I saw how Alastor treated Delia, and looking at the two of them I wonder why I never saw the truth between Damian and Penelope. I even asked Ajax on the way down from our suit, and he had wondered the same thing. Alpha Crius, can you explain to me what reason Alastor had to do what Delia's father accuses him of? I ask, and I know everyone will be listening to this conversation. I need everyone to hear the lame tale he is going to tell, and with it he will dig his own grave. Alpha Theseus, you may not be aware of this, but I tore up the alliance I had with White Crescent Pack. He knew she wanted revenge, and by taking my beta's daughter he wanted to make sure his sister had leverage over me. Alpha Crius answers. I know there is nothing Amara could gain if Alastor had forcefully marked Delia. There would have been something to gain if Alpha Crius had had a daughter and he had forcefully marked her. But then again, Alastor doesn't want to be an alpha, so no gain there either. Tell me, Alpha Crius. What kind of leverage would Alpha Amara have over you if Alastor forcefully marked Delia? I ask him, and I know there is not an answer he can give that will make any sense to anyone. I keep looking at him as I wait for him to dig his grave even deeper. Amara is rubbing circles on my knee with her thumb, and Linus is softly purring in my head. I am glad he has calmed down after he heard the accusations. I know it will be easier for Amara to calm Linus down once we have marked each other, and I can't wait for that to happen. Delia is my beta's daughter, as I already mentioned, and that means she now has access to sensitive information about my pack. financial information, strategic information, and we both know that with that information any pact can be brought down. He says. I burst out in laughter while Amara hides her mouth behind her hand. Delia is staring at Atlas, who is trying his best not to look too smug. Alpha Crius, I remember that my Alpha and I once visited your pack and there was something that always stuck with me. None of the females were allowed anywhere near the high-ranking males, not even near their own mate, and if I remember correctly you told us that you would never allow one of them in a meeting concerning pack business. According to your own words, all females are good for is to warm your bed and bear you pups. Ajax growls. Ajax is correct in recalling the only time I met with Alpha Crius. He had wanted to talk about an alliance between our packs and he had shocked both of us when he had mentioned those words. Suddenly a piece of the puzzle falls into place as I remember when he asked me for that alliance. You wanted an alliance with me, because you tore up the alliance you had with White Crescent Pack. You needed another strong ally just in case you would find yourself up against someone that disagreed with you and the way you run your pack. You were able to belittle every female in your pack, because no one would turn against you as long as you had White Crescent Pack as an ally, and when you tore up the alliance you created trouble for yourself. I say as I get out of my seat. Delia has no knowledge of your finances or strategies. She couldn't have known because you made sure they never knew, and yet you accuse Alastor of forcefully marking her for gaining that information. I can tell you that they are fated mates, and I also know how they met one another. You and her father had planned for her to get forcefully marked by your oldest son on her 18th birthday, but unfortunately for you she overheard the conversation between you and your son. She ran as fast as she could and asked Alpha Amara for asylum, which she was granted. None of you knew where she was or with whom until she walked into the arena. This is the only warning I am giving you and your men: stay away from Delia or you will answer to me. That last sentence was growled at him by Linus. Amara. I know Theseus had trouble controlling Linus, but something tells me I have to allow him to push forward, and when I hear him growl his warning at Alpha Crius I know I made the right decision. Alpha Crius pales as he looks at Linus, who has a furious look on his face and a glint of murder in his eyes. Alpha Crius doesn't acknowledge Linus' warning as he turns on his heel to exit the dining room. After that most of the other packs walk out of the room as well. Leaving just us and two of our allies behind, and I notice that Ajax is linking someone. Amara, can you introduce me to the other two alphas? Theseus asks. I found three more alliances in my office, but my father never mentioned them to me when I took over. I make the introductions to Alpha Murphy of Silver River Pack and Alpha Jaden of Silver Moon Pack. Alpha Murphy and Alpha Jaden, can you give me a reason why my father never mentioned we have an alliance? Theseus asks, and both of them look at him with confusion in their eyes. I went through our paperwork a few days before coming here and I found an alliance missing we had according to my father, but I also found three alliances I was unaware of. I know what happened to the missing alliance, but I don't understand why he kept our alliances hidden from me. Theseus explains, and it is Dad that answers him. I think it is safe to say that your father doesn't like the fact I am close friends with their fathers. Their fathers were with me the day I met Anthea, and you know why he hates my guts. Dad says, and Murphy looks a bit dumbfounded at my father. Murphy, Theseus, and his men know the truth. Mom told them because she doesn't want secrets within the family, at least not anymore. I state. Brielle is the first one to figure out what my words mean exactly, and she congratulates me. Before she turns to Theseus, you better treat her right or I will personally tear up the alliance and throw that pack of yours into war. Am I making myself clear, Alpha Theseus? She growls at him. I see Linus pushing forward, but instead of turning on Brielle for disrespecting an Alpha he turns to Murphy. Maybe you should let your mate do the negotiations on alliances in the future. She can scare the shit out of most alphas. He says. Brielle starts laughing as Murphy mumbles something along the lines of her scaring the shit out of him too, and Alpha Jaden asks Theseus if he is willing to sit down with them in a couple of weeks to discuss their alliances. I am not going to break it, but with the two of you made it I think it is wise if you revisit every alliance. There might be things you want or need to chance, like combining the alliances you both have with a pack, and I know that a lot of alphas will be knocking on your door to broker an alliance when they hear the two of you are mated. Jaden says, and I know he has a point. Most of those alphas will be calling Theseus instead of me, and I know I will enjoy seeing their faces when they realize they will have to deal with me as well. I know Drew also has an alliance with Theseus, but Drew had told me last time we met that he had never heard anything from Theseus. Jaden, thank you for pointing that out to me. I need to contact Alpha Drew about our alliance, and I will meet with the three of you once Amara and I have figured out how this is going to work. I am not talking about our alliances, but about us becoming one pack. There is so much we need to take care of, and I have no idea where to start. Well, other than telling my father to move out of the pack house if we decide we are going to live there. He says, and I sigh in relief as I realize he has already thought about that predicament. Michael walks back into the dining room with a surprised look on his face. Where is everybody? I was about to serve dessert. He asks, and once Dad explains it, he has a smirk on his face. Okay, do I need to call a doctor or should I start digging graves? Michael asks Dad teasingly. A few minutes later we are enjoying our dessert when Theseus looks at his phone. Josh, you called? He asks, and Josh tells him Damon is pissed off about Damian and Penelope being forced out of the pack. Just keep an eye on him and my mother. Adamus already knows we will be staying here. I need to find out a few things I discovered before we left. I will let you know when we are heading home. He says to Josh before disconnecting the call. Alpha Amara Chapter 36 Ajax and Ione. Chapter 36 Ajax and Ione. Ajax. Dinner is finally over and Theseus is taking Amara to one of the side fields to train. Midas is following them at a very slow pace. A part of me wants to see him get his ass handed to him by Amara, but Kylo wants me to throw Ione over my shoulder and take her to our room. My arguing with Kylo makes me fall back from the rest of the group, and when I finally look up I see Ione standing in front of the door, but I don't see the others anymore. Did the two of you come to an agreement? Ione asks, and before I can stop him Kylo pushes forward and lifts her into his arms. He turns around to head for the elevator going up to Amara's suite, but she surprises the both of us when she says that her bag is already in our suite. I press her against the wall before the door has a chance to close, and I slowly close the space between our lips. I let my tongue slide over her bottom lip to ask for access, and she slowly parts her lips to let me snake my tongue into her mouth. My left hand grabs hold of her neck to pull her closer while my right hand cups her breast, and I slowly start kneading her breast through her clothes. After tasting every inch of her mouth I slowly break the kiss to allow her to catch her breath, and as she slowly opens her eyes the elevator has reached our floor. As I pull her away from the wall I have to grab her ass to keep her in place, and I hear her moan as my cock presses against her core. With every step I take my cock rubs against her core, and I have to control the need to lay her down in the middle of the hallway to do what Kylo and I so desperately want to do. The scent of her arousal becomes stronger the closer we get to my room, and I whisper into her ear, I am going to make you come while you scream my name, baby. Her hips buck forward as I stop in front of the door to my room, and I groan as her body rubs over my cock. She is already pulling the hem of my shirt, and I haven't even opened the door yet, but there is no way in hell I am going to stop her. By the time I have closed the door behind us she is ready to rip the shirt from my body, but I push her against the closed door to pull it over my head, and I grab the hem of her shirt to take hers off. She places feather-light kisses over my face the moment I throw her shirt over my shoulder, and the second she gets close to my lips I devour her mouth. Our hands are roaming over the other's body as our tongues are fighting for dominance, and I love the way she tries to gain to upper hand from time to time, but in the end I win this battle. Kylo tells me I will not win every battle for dominance, and we both can't wait for the day she makes us submit to her. I know I can't get those tight pants off of her without putting her down, and reluctantly I lower her to the floor until she is standing on her own 2 feet. Did you all come up with this to tease the hell out of us? I grumble. You may look hot like hell in them, but they are torture to get off. She giggles at my words as she steps away from me to unbutton her pants. I keep my eyes on her as I see her shimmy out of them, and when she bends over to take it off with her shoes in one motion, I have a view on my own slice of heaven. I groan as she looks at me through her legs and wiggles her ass at the same time. I quickly take the rest of my clothes off before I step behind her to move my rock hard cock against her core, and I keep rubbing my cock up and down as I only start moaning. Fuck, if I keep this up I am going to come before I have even entered her body. Please, Ajax. Ione whispers, and I leave my left hand on her hip while my right hand glides to the front of her body, letting it slide under her panties until it touches her clit. I start running slow, small circles while I keep rubbing my cock against her, and slowly but steadily her breathing becomes labored. I can feel her legs start shaking just before I push her over the edge. I slow down my ministrations to allow her to come down from her climax. Ione. It is a good thing Ajax has one hand on my hip and the other one around my waist, because I doubt I would still be standing up straight if he hadn't. My legs feel like jello after the orgasm Ajax just gave me, and I know it will never be any different. Ajax lifts me up bridal style, and I slide my arms around his neck as he walks towards his bed, after which he lies me down gently. He hooks his fingers into my panties and slowly pulls them down my legs, throwing them over his shoulder once he removes them from my feet. He places my feet over his shoulders before he starts kissing down the inside of my legs, switching between both my legs all the way down to my core. The closer he gets to my core, the wider he spreads my legs, and I see his eyes fill with lust as the scent of my arousal becomes stronger. I see his head disappearing between my legs, and my hips buck the moment his tongue touches my clit. He sucks my clit into his mouth while his finger is exploring between my folds until he finds my entrance, and without warning he pushes two fingers into my soaking wet pussy. Ajax, I scream as he pushes his fingers deeper inside me before he starts pulling them out again as he sucks on my clit, and as he pushes back into my core he releases my clit. He keeps repeating this until I feel my next orgasm coming, but before I get there he lifts his head to look at me. He moves closer to my body as he lowers his head to kiss me, and I gasp as I feel his cock against my entrance. As he deepens the kiss, he slowly pushes his cock deeper into my pussy, stretching me around his rock-hard shaft as he quickly thrusts through my hymen. After he gives me a few seconds he pulls out slowly, before he rams his cock back in, slapping our bodies together. He keeps pulling out slowly to pound back into my pussy. Slowly the world around me vanishes as I start pushing my hips up to match his rhythm. He picks up the pace as he keeps sliding his huge cock in and out of my pussy. I feel myself getting closer to my climax, and again he stops his ministrations just before he sends me over the edge. He flips me on my stomach, he places his hands on my hips and slowly slides his cock back in. This new position feels so amazing. He keeps sliding his cock inside me bit by bit, and the deeper he goes the harder I moan. I am getting closer to my orgasm again, and I hope he won't stop this time, but I have barely thought those thoughts as he slows his ministrations. This time he stays on his knees as he lifts me up before he turns me to face him, and I gasp as I feel him entering my body again. He lowers his head towards my neck, and once he reaches the right spot he starts sucking and licking, making me lose every thought I might have had. I start kissing down his cheek to his neck until I reach the spot where I will mark him. Ajax keeps pushing his cock as deep as he can go, and slowly I feel the edge getting closer. We bite down on the marking spot at the exact same time, and my pussy clenches around his cock as he empties himself inside me. He collapses on the bed beside me, and I place my head on his chest as I snuggle into his side. I know I will never tire of the feeling this male gives me. I can't wait to see the look on Mom's face when she meets him, and I have to tell her I finally understand. Do you think Midas is still breathing? Ajax asks, and I giggle as I remember Midas dragging his feet. He really didn't want to be her sparring partner. I can't blame him, as I have had more than one bruise after training with Amara, but I also know she will never go full force with one of us. Except maybe if Theseus decides to spar with her, he can handle himself as he is also an alpha, and I would love to see the two of them sparring. Yeah, she never goes all out with one of us. Besides, She wants to save her strength for tomorrow. She wants to kick a few asses tomorrow, and I hope she can put them all in their place by winning this year's competition. Amara is a fair alpha just like her father and her grandfather, but she hates the fact that there are alphas that think a female can't run a pack. I answer him. We talk about Joseph arriving in the morning and we both hope he responds well to the adoption. We talk about how Theseus' family will react when they find out Damian and Penelope have been stripped of their parental rights and how our families will react to us being mates. Neither one of us thinks that someone in our family will have an objection, and I know Dad will be happy I finally found my fated mate. Alpha Amara Chapter 37 Training. Chapter 37 Training. Theseus. I noticed that Ajax was having an argument with Kylo, and you don't have to be a genius to know what that argument is about. I know Midas wasn't too happy with me, like all of us he wants to take his mate back to a room to mark and mate her. Amara has a small smile on her face as we approach the side fields, and I see that there are a few alphas training. They are really taking this training a bit too far, as I see some of their warriors with injuries. Apollo steps onto one of the fields and asks Amara if this will do. I don't need the entire field, I think this will work just fine, Gamma Apollo. She answers, and I have to stifle a smile at her using his title, but then again she had been right when she pointed out that we didn't need to add fuel to an already tense situation. I might have put Alpha Cryus and his pack in their place, but it doesn't mean that no one will completely forget about it, and I think I might not get to mark Amara until we get home. Linus and I hate that idea, but we also understand why she wouldn't want us to. Midas is still dragging his feet and Rhea has wrapped her arms around his waist. I can hear that she is whispering to him, but I can't make out the words. From the corner of my eye I see Eos and Xanthos walking away, and no one has to tell me what they are going to do. I feel a pang in my heart as I see them disappear into the hotel. Give her time to make up her own mind. Melia says. Even with the distraction her alpha position gave her, it took a long time before she was back to her own self, but there was always one topic she avoided, and that was a second chance mate. Damian broke her faith in the mate bond. He made sure she doubted every male that came close to her, and she never felt comfortable around a male because of what he did to her. She won't run away, she would have done so the moment she found out you were her second chance mate, and we both know she didn't. You have already shown her that you are the better male, and I know she accepts you as her mate, but I can't tell you when she is ready for everything that comes with the mate bond. No matter how hard it is, just be patient, Theseus. Melia says. I was already pissed off at Damian, but knowing how badly he broke her with his actions makes me grateful he is not anywhere near me. A chuckle from Apollo draws my attention to the field, and I see Midas flat on his ass in the middle of the field. Delta Midas, maybe I should have warned you. Melia says, and three heads turn towards her. Apollo asks her what she should have warned Midas about, that she has been undefeated since she turned 18, not even her father could defeat her. Melia responds. Midas lets himself fall on his back with his arms spread out, while Apollo and I turn towards Rhea to see if Melia is telling the truth, and the look on her face tells me more than enough. I hear Midas groan as he looks at Rhea and realizes she took it easy on Damian and Alpha Cryus. She didn't have to go full force against those two morons, and every other alpha thought she would be easy to handle. Well, the joke is on them. Linus growls in my head, and I chuckle as I understand she did it on purpose. Amara helps Midas to his feet and they go for another round, even Apollo offers to spar with her. I look around me to see that there are no other alphas training, and Melia tells me they left the moment we stepped onto the field. Good. I respond. At least now they have no idea what she is capable of, and I really hope they will underestimate her. After an hour or so, Apollo asks if I would like to get my ass kicked by my mate, and I hear Amara giggle as Midas starts shaking his head. I think I will pass, I will save that for a time I really deserve it. I say, and Amara looks at me with a huge grin on her face. Amara sits down to catch her breath and to drink some water. I give her some pointers on where she can gain a little more advantage, and she listens to what I have to say. She even asks me questions about how I train my men. It turns out our training programs aren't that different from one another. We even discuss how to integrate both programs and how we need to mix our warriors when they patrol our borders. I like that we both already consider it our pack and that we can talk about this in a normal fashion, I say to Amara. She asks me what I mean in a normal fashion. Every time I tried to talk to my father about changes, he would blow a gasket. It didn't matter how I tried to bring my ideas across, and even after I took over, he kept fighting me whenever I wanted to change something. For example, our border patrol, I wanted to include our western border, and you know what happened to that idea. I explain, and she nods her head as she tries to hide a yawn. I think it is past your bedtime, my alpha. I say, and she rewards me with a smile. Yeah, I think we are the only ones left out here. She points out, and I am surprised I didn't notice the others had left. I grab her hand as we walk back to the hotel. Amara seems nervous, and I ask her if it has to do with her match in the morning. No, I can handle that. I made a decision when I was changing for dinner, and when I changed into my training gear, I still felt comfortable with my decision, but now I am starting to feel nervous. I don't think I have to be nervous, but the past has shown me that not everything goes as we hope. She replies. I stop walking as I pull her closer to me. I look into her eyes as I lower my head, and when our lips touch, I can't control myself. One hand slides around her neck to keep her still, while my other hand travels down her back and I press her closer to my body. One of her arms wraps around my waist, while the other slides around my neck, and I pull her head gently to the side to deepen the kiss. My cock grows harder the longer our kiss lasts, and I hear her moan when I press myself against her body. I slowly break the kiss and place my forehead against hers. I can't change the past, and if I am honest, I don't want to, because it gave me you. I will make you a promise though, I have no intention to reject you. You are mine, my alpha, and I am yours. I whisper. She didn't break eye contact with me, and I can see that she needed to hear this from me. I place both my hands on her ass, and as I lift her up, she wraps her arms and legs around me. I groan as my cock rubs against her core and I grind my hips forward. Theseus, please. She whispers as she nuzzles my neck. I want you, I want all of you. I hear her say, and I ask her which suite to go to. Yours. I ask Michael to bring our overnight bags there. She answers, and I don't waste time. The moment the doors close, I place her back against the wall. I am going to make you come, my alpha. The scent of her arousal makes me lose control, and one of my hands glides into the back of her pants. Her hips buck forward the moment my finger presses against her ass. Theseus. She screams as I start grinding harder against her pussy. I feel her body give in to the pressure I put on her back door, and I start pushing my finger in and out at the same pace I am grinding against her core. Her ass starts clenching around my finger, and I push her over the edge by sucking hard on her marking spot. As she catches her breath, I slow down my ministrations, and as we arrive on our floor, I have her cradled in my arms with her head buried in my neck. I walk down the hallway to my room, and I see that every door along the way is closed. I think the rooms are soundproof. I whisper. Amara giggles as she looks over my shoulder at the doors behind us, not that I would care if they weren't. It is the most natural thing to do after you find your fated mate, and I have seen my fair share of X-rated scenes in my life, something most packs no longer allow. I close the door behind us and stalk over to the bed with Amara still in my arms. I turn around at the foot of the bed to sit down, and I make her straddle my lap, placing my rock-hard cock against her core. Amara, if I do something you are not comfortable with, I want you to tell me. I say as I look into her eyes. Instead of answering me, she starts pulling on the hem of my shirt, and in a few minutes, we are both naked. I let my eyes roam over her body before I lower my head towards her breasts, and as I cup one with my hand, I suck on the nipple of the other. Her hand tangles in my hair, and she pulls my head closer to her body. I gently pinch her nipple as I suck harder on the other nipple. Alpha Amara Chapter 38 Mark Me. Chapter 38 Mark Me. Amara. I never believed the stories I heard from mated females, that you would lose control the moment you were ready to mark and mate with your fated mate. How could I have been so wrong? Ever since I got out of the elevator, I have wanted to jump his bones and the hell with the consequences. I wasn't nervous about Theseus rejecting or hurting me, I was nervous because I feared he wouldn't want me to be so straightforward. When his finger pressed against my ass for the first time, I almost come, and when he finally did make me come, I thought everyone in the building heard me. Theseus knows what he wants and he is not afraid to show me. I know we will clash from time to time, but that will only be outside our bedroom. I love how he takes what he wants from me, and I know he will show me what he wants from me. I feel the heat rush through my body as he sucks harder on my nipple, and I moan the moment he pushes two fingers into my core. "Fuck, you feel so tight," he mumbles before he starts sucking my other nipple, and as he starts pulling his fingers out, his other hand glides down my body. My body responds to his ministrations and I feel myself getting closer to another orgasm. I start panting as he starts pushing his finger into my ass again. My body is getting an overload of sensations and I scream his name as I come around his fingers. I am still coming down from my orgasm when I feel his cock against my entrance, and before I can say anything, he slams me down on his cock. He holds still deep inside me and whisper in my ear, "It will ease in a moment, just let me know when you are ready." My body quickly adjusts to his cock inside my pussy and I move my hips to show him that I am ready. "That is it, my alpha." He groans and I move my hips again. I lift myself up before I slam down on his cock, and it feels so amazing to take every inch of him inside me. Theseus has his hands on my hips to help guide me up and down his shaft. I have one hand on his shoulder and the other is tangled in his hair, and I lower my head to kiss him. I gently nip his bottom lip to get access to his mouth, and the moment our tongues meet, I moan into his mouth. His mouth leaves mine to trail kisses down to my collarbone and back up again, only to avoid my mouth so he can kiss the same path on the other side, and I keep riding his cock hard and fast. I feel his cock twitch inside me and I speed up just a little bit more. My canines elongate as I near my orgasm, but for some reason I don't move towards his marking spot, and I hear him groan near my ear, "Mark me, my alpha." He mutters, his words break the control I had on myself, and I sink my teeth into his neck. It pushes Theseus over the edge and I feel how he shoots his cum inside me, pushing me over the edge as well. We both slow down our ministrations as I clean his mark with my tongue and he pulls me with him as he lays down on his back with my head on his chest. I listen to his heartbeat becoming steady again as my hand roams his arm, his hands are running circles on my back, and I feel myself get all hot again. Just his touch is enough to ignite my body again, and as his hands reach the bottom of my back, my hips buck forward. Without saying a word, he flips us over, and as I lie on my back, I look into his lust-filled eyes. "This feels so fucking good, my alpha. I am going to enjoy this body for the rest of my life," he says as he keeps his eyes locked with mine, and I can see that he means every word. He grabs both of my knees and he pushes them against the bed. I can feel myself stretching around his cock as he bottoms out. Our bodies slap together as he shoves every inch of his cock back into my soaking wet pussy, and I cry out in pleasure as he slowly moves his hips. Just adding and releasing the pressure on my sensitive spot, I watch as his cock sinks into my pussy over and over again. I crunch the covers in my fists as he starts pumping faster. I am completely at his mercy as he holds my knees in place. I feel my orgasm crawling closer and I whisper, "Mark me, my alpha." I know I don't want to be without him ever again. I can feel that he will never betray me, and with Theseus I want everything the mate bond has to offer. His canines pierce my skin and my body starts shaking and trembling as stars explode behind my eyes. Theseus keeps pushing in and out of my core, and just as I think my orgasm has died down, it hits me again. I am a moaning mess as I feel the next one rolling through my body. There is nothing left in my mind, other than the feeling Theseus gives me, and as I scream my release again, he comes with me. We are both covered in a sheen of sweat and he places his head against my forehead as he tries to catch his breath. "I love you, Theseus," I say before I can change my mind, and a huge grin crosses his face. "I love you, my alpha, and I always will, You are stuck with me. He answers before he locks our lips together. After we lay there for a while snuggled close together, our breathing steadies and I can feel the exhaustion crawl into my system. Oh no, my alpha. He whispers. Let's get you cleaned up first before we go to sleep. He lifts me up bridal style and walks into the bathroom. Our shower takes a little longer when I decide to wash his body. Theseus already warned me that his body would react to my touch, and the closer to his cock I get, the harder it becomes. I wrap my fingers around his shaft and his head falls backwards as he groans. I move my hand up and down his cock at a slow, steady pace and I lower myself to my knees in front of him. I keep my eyes on his face as I lick the head of his cock and his eyes lock with mine as I let his cock slide to the back of my throat. Fuck, that's it, harder. He mumbles as I suck his cock. I move up and down his cock and I feel his hand tangle in my hair. He starts pushing his cock deeper into my mouth and with every thrust he pumps harder into my mouth. He groans louder every time he slides into my mouth. He shoots his cum down my throat the moment I squeeze his balls. Swallow it, my alpha. Swallow all of it. He growls as he holds my head in place and I suck every last drop of his cum out of him. He pulls me to my feet and slams his lips to mine as he lifts me up, pushing me against the wall. Once he breaks our kiss, he whispers in my ear what he has planned for me, but not until after this competition is over and I nearly climax at his words. He has a smug look on his face, because he can smell what his words did to my body, and without warning he slams two fingers into my pussy. He isn't gentle and he doesn't take it slow, but right now I don't want or need that. I need him to make me come, and for some reason he knows exactly how to work my body. It only takes a few moments before I shatter into a million pieces as he finger fucks me over the edge. After we have finished our shower, he carries me back to the bed and teasingly I say, "You shouldn't spoil me this much. If you're not careful, you will have to carry me everywhere." He smiles at me before he says that it will be his pleasure. He gently places me on the bed before he crawls next to me and I place my head on his chest as he wraps his arms around me. We have just settled ourselves in bed when his phone starts to light up and he tells me why he turned the sound off. It is a notification from Luna Maeve that Jane just headed back to Harvard and that she and her mate will be there in time for the first match. I kiss Theseus on his chin as he sighs in relief. I know he was a little bit worried about Jane being there. He had told me he wouldn't stop worrying about Damien or Penelope finding out until Joseph was safely in his arms, and I know that they will put up a huge fight the moment they find out Theseus and I will be raising Joseph. I had told Theseus that they probably had more trouble with me raising Joseph than with him raising Joseph. Mom already ordered a few things for Joseph and some of it would get delivered here, while the rest would get delivered to the pack house. I have been planning for years to build another pack house, because of the memories this one holds, and I think this is just the excuse I have been waiting for. What is running through your mind, my alpha? Theseus asks, and I places my hands on his chest to support my head. After I took over from Dad, I asked him if he would mind if I build a new pack house. As you can imagine, this one holds a memory I would like to erase from existence. I have been drawing up plans with Ione, but we would always run into a tiny problem. Well, actually five huge problems, and those problems are our mates. We have been living together our whole lives and I don't understand why an alpha would want to be too far from his beta, gamma, and deltas. We took into consideration that we would all end up with a mate and pups, but to house them all on the same floor would mean a rather large pack house, and that was unnecessary for White Crescent Pack. However, with combining our packs we will need a bigger pack house. I see a smile appear on his face. I want to talk about it with everyone present, but I think it is a very good idea to build a new pack house, and I think I might know where to build it. He states. Now, get some sleep. You have some asses to kick in the morning, my alpha. He places my head back on his chest, right above his heart, and I drift off to sleep as I listen to his heartbeat. Alpha Amara Chapter 39 A New Future. Chapter 39 A New Future. Theseus. I stare at my mate who is still fast asleep and I still can't believe she asked me to mark her last night. I had expected her to ask for more time. Don't get me wrong, I am not complaining. Linus is laying curled up in the back of my head and the both of us feel more content than we have ever been in our lives. Someone is pushing against the block I had put up and I lower it to hear Apollo in my head, Alpha, Alastor linked Melia with the request to come to their suite for breakfast. He says and I tell him I will be out in a minute. I deliberately didn't use the word we as I want to see the looks on their faces. I gently nudge her arm to wake her up and her face turns a nice shade of red when she feels my rock hard cock press against her leg, sorry, my Alpha. We don't have time for that, we have to get going as your mom wants us to join them for breakfast. I say. A disappointed look appears on her face and I kiss her deep before I tell her to keep that thought for tonight. We get distracted a few times as we get ready for the day and she giggles as I adjust myself before we walk out of the bedroom, you are getting punished tonight, my Alpha. I growl in her head. Shit. She says before she tells me she forgot we can mind link now and I promise her I won't do it during one of her matches. We hear the others talking about the fact I used the word I in my mind link with Apollo and Amara has a huge smile on her face. When I had told her she had looked at me stunned, but when I explained to her I wanted to see their expressions she had giggled. She pointed out that Alastor had linked Melia, because he knew better than to disturb her and that the girls would know she wasn't in her room. Looks like Amara was right about them knowing she was here, but Ajax is not convinced. Theseus would have said we if Amara had been with him, she could be down there training for all we know. He says and Amara scares the shit out of him by asking, are you volunteering, Beta? Apollo and Midas start laughing, because they know she can kick his ass with two hands tied behind her back. Just kidding, Beta. Even though I might need you as a sparring partner tonight or tomorrow. She says and Ajax just nods his head, too stunned to speak. Anyone willing to tell me what you were discussing? Amara asks and even I want to answer her. That mate of mine can make every male or female answer her without the use of her alpha aura and now I understand why Atlas had no problem with giving her the alpha position. I have been running my pack longer than she has been running her pack, but I think she can still teach me a trick or two and I can't wait until she is faced with my parents. I think we might need to protect them from Amara and not the other way around. We quickly make our way over to Amara's suite and the moment we get out of the elevator she gets pulled into a hug by her mother. She releases Amara to pull me into a hug, good morning, son. She says and without hesitation I respond, good morning, mom. Michael walks out of the dining room followed by Delia and he has a smile on his face. Congratulations to all of you on finding your fated mate. I understand we can expect another guest, Alpha Theseus. He says and I look at Anthea to see that she informed Michael. Theseus, Michael will keep this quiet. There is one thing we need to discuss though, where will Joseph be sleeping? There are no empty rooms left in your suite and with the two of you newly marked I doubt you want a 5-year-old in your room. Anthea says. Mom, we will discuss this with Joseph. I want him to know that he has a say in certain things and I think this is one of them, his world will be turned upside down as it is. Amara says, Anthea just smiles at her and I get this feeling she already expected this kind of answer from her daughter. Atlas tells us to get into the dining room to get some breakfast and I place my hand on Amara's lower back as we follow Atlas. I see Delia look at me from time to time and I know there is something she wants to ask me, but knowing her upbringing I doubt she will do it on her own. Delia, I meant it when I told you last time, you can ask me anything. If I can't answer your question I will tell you, but I can guarantee you there are not many questions I refuse to answer. I say as I look at her and she tells me she will try to remember that. Theseus, how will your parents react to Amara being your second chance mate? Delia asks and I actually start laughing. Sorry, Linus told me he wanted mom and dad out of the pack house, because he knows they will try to belittle her every change they get and I know they will make unpleasant remarks to and about her. However, just before we came here Amara asked a question and even though I had not been in the room I wanted to answer her. I no longer think I need to protect her from my parents, I think someone might need to protect them from her. I answer her. Everyone is rolling in the aisles as Amara just stares at me and the twinkle in her eyes tells me I better behave myself the rest of the day or I will be the one being punished, making Linus purr at the idea. Oh hush, you like the idea as much as I do. He growls in my head. I know I have to focus on something else before I toss my mate over my shoulder and bring her back to our room in my suite. Ione, Amara told me the two of you have been talking about building a new pack house. Can you tell me a bit more about it, other than the fact that it will become huge? Ione explains to the others why it would become huge, but I know I like having our betas, gammas, and deltas with us on the same floor and it looks like the others like that idea as well. There is also another reason why it would become so huge. Amara wants a private office where we can work without getting disturbed and she wants enough workspace in there for all of us, so you can imagine that it will become a very large floor. Ione says and I like the idea of one large office. It will make it easier for any of us if we need to be close to our mate or pups. I ask her to describe the living arrangements for each family. If we take the current design into consideration we would make 5 quarters on the top floor, just like the 3 there are on the top floor of our current pack house. Those are for the alpha, beta, and gamma, the quarters for the deltas are on the floor below ours. Our so-called front doors open into a hallway that leads to an overflow, the stairs are located on one side of the pack house and I believe it would be smart if there are stairs on both sides. It will make it easier and faster to get down the stairs. Ione explains. I let her explanation run through my mind as I finish my breakfast and I think they have thought about it carefully, but I think I might have a few ideas of my own. Amara, what if the quarters only have a small living room in case you want to spend time with just your own family? A large living room and kitchen for everyone to use and of course a private office with the quarters behind it. It will still be a large top floor. However, it will also mean larger floors below them and you can use them for the Omegas to live on, maybe mix them with unmated males and females that don't want to stay with their parents for whatever reason. On the ground floor you can have a main dining room where everyone can have breakfast, lunch, or dinner if they want to, a main living room anyone can use and in which you can entertain your guests. An office or two and a large meeting room for official meetings. I say. I see Ione working on a tablet and by the time I have finished my coffee she turns the tablet towards me and Amara, the top floor and the ground floor are done with a full layout. She took everything I said into consideration and it actually looks amazing. The tablet passes around the table and even her father seems pleased with the plans he sees in front of him. Amara asks me where I thought we should build the new pack house and when I tell her what I have in mind she smiles at me. That would be the perfect place to build it, I think everyone will like that spot. She says. We talk about taking down both old pack houses once the building is done and to use those spots to build a few extra cottages for families. Just as we are discussing the situation with the Omegas in my pack I hear the ding from the elevator doors and the 3 males we thought were her beta, gamma, and delta walk in. All 3 of them stare at everyone seated at the table and they all start smiling when they realize what is going on. Alpha, congratulations. It was about damn time you found your second chance mate. One of them says and he turns his attention towards me. Alpha Theseus, my name is Nestor and I am Alpha Amara's head warrior. I mean no disrespect, but if you ever hurt her I will make sure no one ever finds your body. He says and his wolf is right there with him. Linus pushes forward to answer him, I think my men will help you if that day ever arrives. Alpha Amara Chapter 40 Meeting Joseph. Chapter 40 Meeting Joseph. Amara. We have just finished clearing off the dining room table when Dad tells me that Joseph is on his way up with Luna Maeve and Alpha Robert, Alastair guides Nestor, Miles, and Hector to his room to explain what is going on and Delia follows right behind them. It doesn't take long before the doors of the elevator open and a little male runs out, straight into Theseus' arms. Thank you, Uncle Theseus. He whispers as he wraps his arms around Theseus' neck and his eyes widen when his eyes lock with the mark on his neck. Uncle Theis, who gave that to you? Joseph asks as he looks Theseus in the eye. Joseph, I found my second chance mate. Do you remember what I told you could sometimes happen if you lost your fated mate or if you got rejected? He asks and Joseph is nodding his head. Joseph pulls his shirt out of the way to take a closer look at the mark on his neck and I can see the wheels turning in his head as he studies Theseus' mark, I even see his wolf surface from time to time. Why does it look different from my parents' mark? He asks. Apollo asks him to take a look at his mark and tell him if it looks different as well. Joseph stares at Apollo for a moment, you found your fated mate too, Apollo, he asks. Melia steps forward and introduces herself to Joseph as Apollo's mate. Joseph takes a good look at Apollo's mark and tells him it looks more like that of Theseus than that of his parents, making me wonder if there is a way to tell if a couple is fated or not by looking at their mark. Joseph turns back to Theseus and his eyes land on me. Hello, Joseph. I am Alpha Amara, but you can just call me Amara. I say as I look at him. I see that his wolf is right there with him and that the two of them are talking about something. Do you hate me? He asks and I feel a pang in my heart as I look into his saddened eyes. I step next to Theseus to take Joseph out of his arms and I walk over to a couch with Joseph. After I sit down with him on my lap, I make sure I look into his eyes as I ask him, do you think it is fair to blame someone from something someone else has done? I see him debating with his wolf and after a few moments Joseph asks what I mean, I don't take my eyes off his as I ask, do you think it would be fair if I rejected your uncle because of what your father did to me? He shakes his head as he says that no one knew. That is correct, Joseph. No one knew and it is something that happened before you were born. So, do you think it would be fair to hate you for something your parents did? I ask and Joseph finally understands my question as he says that that wouldn't be fair. Theseus has settled himself next to me and Joseph looks from me to Theseus and back again, is Amara your second chance mate, Uncle Theis? He asks and a smile appears on his face when Theseus answers his question with a yes. Joseph, there is something I would like to ask you. I say after Theseus introduced everyone to Joseph. When did Griffin show up? I ask and Joseph tells me it happened after Neil told him the truth about what his father had done to me. Griffin had talked to him the entire journey, except when he had finally fallen asleep and when Joseph and Griffin had heard from Luna Maeve that his father had hurt my wolf they both had lost it. Joseph asks Theseus if his parents know where he is and I see a scared look in his eyes. No, Joseph. They don't know that you are here with us and I have no intention of telling them. Theseus responds. Joseph, do you understand that it is unusual for Griffin to be with you? Joseph nods his head and before he can worry about anything else Dad points out I have an hour left before the matches start. I ask Theseus to explain to Joseph why I entered the competition while I get changed into my outfit, but Joseph won't let go of me and I decide to take him with me to my room. As I change my clothing I explain everything to Joseph and I can see a very pissed off little wolf. Calm down, my little wolf. I says as I wrap my arms around him and he buries his nose into my neck, calming himself down as he inhales my scent. I suddenly remember Joseph's remark on Theseus' mark and I ask him if he can tell me what is different between my mark and that of his mother. Joseph tells me that Theseus and I have a dark mountain with a white crescent above it and that our names run around it in a circle, your names are golden and on my parents' mark their names are black. He answers me and I look at Theseus who nods his head. Joseph, as I already said it is unusual for a wolf to show up this early and if a pup is not raised the right way he or she will become a very angry and unstable grown wolf. Theseus and I ask the council what we can do to make sure you get the guidance and support you need. Like us, the council doesn't believe your parents or your grandfathers can give you that guidance and support. The council will always put your needs above that of your parents and they don't want your parents to raise you. I say to Joseph. The council has asked me and Theseus if we are willing to raise you. I don't have to go back to them. He asks and I tell him that we have already dealt with the paperwork. You are coming home with us, my little wolf. I say, and Joseph is jumping up and down the room. Theseus wraps his arm around my waist and I rest my head against his shoulder as I look at a very happy Joseph. We walk back into the living room with a jumping male right behind us, and I know that Apollo has explained everything to Alpha Robert and Luna Maeve. Alastor asks Joseph if he would like to change into something clean, but as expected Joseph tells him he has nothing else to wear. Don't worry, my little wolf. That is all taken care of. Why don't you follow Alastor and put something else on? I say, and without hesitation, he grabs Alastor's hand. When Mom had told Theseus what she had bought for Joseph, he told her that Joseph always wears slacks and that he didn't know if he would like wearing jeans. Uncle Theseus, look at my jeans. He yells excitedly, and Mom asks him if she got the right stuff for him. He jumps into her arms and kisses her cheek before he says thank you. Alastor tells us he had been surprised to find jeans because according to his father the future Alpha needed to dress to impress. Uncle Theseus, I don't want to become an Alpha Griffin, and I want to become a warrior. He says with a determined look on his face, and Theseus tells him that he can become whatever he wants. Eos walks up to Joseph as she asks him if he is sure he wants to become a warrior. Joseph nods his head as Eos gets down on one knee. Okay, if that is what you want, then that is what we will train you for, and your training starts today. You will be watching all of Amara's matches, and at the end of every match I want you to tell me if someone did something they shouldn't have. There are no right or wrong answers, I just want to see what you can pick up. Think you can handle that, Joseph and Griffin? She explains. Joseph is smiling from ear to ear, and I know he will watch those matches carefully. He will become a better fighter than his father ever will, Theseus says. Joseph walks around looking at each of us, and he tells Xanthos he has to adjust his shirt, making Xanthos frown. They can see a part of your mark, Delta Xanthos. I thought this was going to stay a secret for a little while longer, Joseph says, and I hide my face in Theseus' chest. Eos helps Xanthos hide his mark, and Mom tells Joseph to stay close to her and my dad. Yospe grabs my hand as Theseus places his hand on my lower back, and Delia looks from the elevator over her shoulder at us and back again. Looks like we will have to wait for the next ride down, she says. Joseph is excited that he will be seated at the arena this time, and when he sees the board that announces the matches he runs towards it. He knows which alphas I would like to fight against, and I see a huge smile on his face when he turns towards me. Shadow Moon Pack, Alpha Amara. Dad walks over to him and lifts him into his arms before he walks out to the arena. Apollo holds out some earphones as I take a deep breath. Just listen to this and concentrate on the lyrics, Apollo says, and I take the earphones as Ione turns me towards the arena. The song starts and I really like the melody, but I really have to focus to hear what the man is singing. I know it is from the human era because werewolves and lycans don't make music like this, and I wonder where the singer came from.